Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. Good to see you all in your assigned seats. It's interesting, isn't it? We're creatures of habit. I know where each of you is going to sit, so interesting. If you want to move up, since we're such a small group, please feel free. We're on the threshold of a new year, the final day of 2023. If you're interested in numbers, here's a little bit of trivia. I don't think we'll ever be able to write this date down. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I tried to figure that out in my head. If we'll ever be able to do that, it'd be, what, thousands of years? I don't know. Just a little bit of trivia. It's hard to believe that we haven't had a major snowstorm, isn't it? Just a little bit of dusting last night, yeah. We can be thankful for the mild winter we've had so far. It's coming. I guess for sure it's coming. So we can enjoy the mild winter that we have had so far. By way of announcements, at 2 p.m. this afternoon, we'll be sharing with the residents at Waterview Pines in Virginia. You're welcome to come and help greet the residents and sing with us. Shortly after the bulletin was printed this week, we found out that the Little Gourmet Deli is not going to be open on January 2nd. So for you ladies that are part of that group, it's been rescheduled for the following Tuesday, January 9th at noon. Take time to look at some of the greetings we've received from friends in other places. They're posted on the bulletin boards in the foyer in the front and by the office in back. And next Sunday will be the first Sunday of the new year. We'll be celebrating communion with Pastor Randy Swenson. So please join us after the service this morning for coffee and. Would you stand with me now as we read responsibly our call to worship? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
We have beheld His glory. Hallelujah.
A child has been born for us.
A son given to us.
Authority rests upon His shoulder, and He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Remain standing as we sing together, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, 157.
Sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on the past year, we come to you with grateful hearts. Thank you for your faithfulness and provision in our lives. Your goodness and grace have been evident. We are truly blessed to have experienced your love, grace, and mercy through the ups and downs of this past year. As we enter this new year, we ask for a renewed mind and heart in order that we may walk in your ways and fulfill the purpose you have in mind for us. May our worship this morning cause us to embrace the glory of your Son's coming into the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 through chapter 62, verse 3. It's 572 in your pew Bible. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewelry. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The second reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40, page 783 in your pew Bible. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. and the sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
I'll ask our ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you can satisfy our every desire and need. Your word says that we should give honor to you with the first fruits of our wealth. Accept our tithes and offerings as a gift of worship to you. Multiply what we give for the effective growth of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand for the doxology. You may be seated. For the morning prayer this morning, I've selected a prayer from the internet, which I found to be very appropriate for this morning. And so I won't be mentioning those that are on the prayer list in your bulletin. I will ask you to add that yourselves to the morning prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you make all things new. Thank you for all that you've allowed into our lives this past year, the good along with the hard things, which have reminded us how much we need you and rely on your presence filling us every single day. We pray for your Holy Spirit to lead us each step of this new year. We ask that you will guide our decisions and turn our hearts to deeply desire you above all else. We ask that you will open doors needing to be opened and close the ones that need to be shut tight. We ask that you would help us to release our grip on the things to which you said no, not yet, or wait. We ask for help to pursue you first above every dream and desire you've put within our hearts. We ask for wisdom, for the strength and power to be constantly present with us, We pray you would make us strong and courageous for the road ahead. Give us ability beyond what we feel able. Let your gifts flow freely through us so that you would be honored by our lives and others would be drawn to you. We pray that you'd keep us far from the snares and traps of temptations, that you would whisper in our ear when we need to run and whisper in our heart when we need to stand our ground. We pray for your protection over our families and friends. We ask for your hand to cover us and keep us distance from the evil intent of the enemy, that you would be a barrier to surround us, that we'd be safe in your hands. We pray that you would give us discernment and insight beyond our years to understand your will, hear your voice, and know your ways. We ask that you would keep our footsteps firm on solid ground, helping us to be consistent and faithful. Give us supernatural endurance to stay the course, not swerving to the right or to the left, or being too easily distracted by other things that would seek to call us away from a close walk with you. Forgive us for the times we have worked so hard to be self-sufficient, forgetting our need for you, living independent of your Spirit. Forgive us for letting fear and worry control our minds and for allowing pride and selfishness wreak havoc over our lives. Forgive us for not following your ways and for living distant from your presence. We confess our need for you, fresh and new again. We ask that you make all things new in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives for the coming year. We pray for your refreshing over us. Keep your words of truth planted firm within us. Help us to keep focused on what is pure and right. Give us the power to be obedient to your word. And when the enemy reminds us where we have been, spewing lies and attacks our way, we trust your voice speaks louder and stronger as you remind us we are safe with you and your purposes and plans will not fail. We ask that you will be our defense and rear guard, keeping our way clear, removing the obstacles, and covering the pitfalls. Lord, lead us on your path in this new year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It has been our, I hesitate to use the word tradition, but at least the past few years, I think we've used this Sunday as a time to sing some of the Christmas carols that don't get sung. There's no way we could sing them all in a couple services, or even during Advent. So we've chosen to have this Sunday as a time when we can think about and sing the glory of God sending His Son into the world. So, with that, we'll start off with some requests, if you have any, that you'd like to sing. They basically start from hymn 146 to 188 in your hymnal. Oh, that's right. We'll sing the first and last verses of the hymn so we can get as many in as possible.
Thank you.
By the way, you can request more than one if you want.
176. Now shine a thousand candles for it.
176.
One sixty-two. One two zero.
Thank you.
One more, and then I'll share with you.
190.
How to prepare yourself for the new year. Talk to yourself. Seem like a strange way to begin the year? How many of you talk to yourself? I think most of us do, whether you're willing to admit it or not. Whether we realize it or not, every behavior we engage in is preceded by a thought process. Either conscious talking to yourself or unconscious thoughts that are part of our assumptions and beliefs. For example, when you sit down to eat a meal, you don't think about what utensil you're going to use to eat the meal. Unconsciously, you don't think about bringing the glass up to your mouth to drink a glass of milk. On the other hand, you obviously had a conscious thought about whether you were coming today to our service this morning. Our thoughts control and direct the kinds of behavior, thought processes we choose to engage in. Think about your everyday lives. How much time do you actually spend monitoring your thoughts, as opposed to just letting your mind drift to whatever topic it chooses, and then you allow your thoughts to take on a life of their own? Our thoughts become our reality. What you think about is the direction you will move with your behavior. Our thoughts influence our feelings and perceptions about what's going on in our lives on any given day. They determine what we notice in the world around us and what we attract into our lives. Our thoughts determine how we feel, what we do, how we relate to others, and all of our personal experiences. Most of our thoughts are habitual and strengthened by repeated patterns of thinking. We tend to assume they are accurate, seldom stopping to question their validity and the impact they are having in our lives. This continuous inner dialogue is called self-talk. Our self-talk can be positive, supportive, and self-enhancing, or it can be negative, critical, and self-defeating. We talk to ourselves all day long, interpreting the situations we find ourselves in. It's like we have an internal voice inside our head that determines how we will perceive every situation. Here's some examples of what I mean. You can think about how you might respond to these situations. We've all been there. When you walk down the aisle at Walmart, you notice a good friend from church. She ignores you. A good friend forgets your birthday. You're accused of doing something you know you didn't do. You think no one cares about you. You say to yourself, I'm not lovable, or I'm not as gifted as he or she is, or she is a better parent than I am, or I'll never measure up. You probably had an immediate, what we call a hot thought reaction to these statements. Those often change once we start thinking about what we are saying to ourselves. We may not always be aware of our self-talk or what we actually say to ourselves. By neglecting to notice our self-talk, we may be permitting a continual flow of self-criticism to play in our minds and to steadily erode our self-esteem. We may also be missing out on the potential benefits of using positive self-talk to make positive changes in our lives. Believe it or not, we can control much of our emotional life by the way in which we talk to ourselves and how we perceive this situation we are in. There are two verses of Scripture that highlight this topic of self-talk. One is Romans 12:2, which says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." How do we change the way we think? By incorporating God's word into our self-talk. Talk to ourselves about what the Bible says, who we are, what we have, and His providential will for our lives. The second scripture is found in 2 Corinthians 10:5. I like the way the King James Version says it best, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm by no means good at this, but I do know that when I do bring into captivity my thoughts to the obedience of Christ, I'm a much happier person. I'm much more content, and I'm much more grateful for what I have because of what God has done for me and continues to do for me. So, what does all this have to do with preparing ourselves for the new year? Think about what you may already be telling yourself. You may be thinking about resolutions you may want to make to better yourself physically and or spiritually in the new year. You may be thinking about planning a trip somewhere. You may be thinking about getting more involved with your family. You may be thinking about becoming a better mate to your husband or wife. You may be thinking and or hoping 2024 is a better year for yourself and the world around us. All of those thought processes require talking to yourself about how you're going to plan and accomplish those tasks. My Christian life is not unlike yours, I'm sure. It's been a series of ups and downs, good choices and bad choices. I know that God is sovereign, and even though I make bad choices, He still has my best interest in mind. Someone has said, a setback is a setup for a comeback. Let me say it again. A setback is a setup for a comeback. We get a second chance, if you will, to make good on our decisions. Let me share with you a practical way in which you can incorporate the monitoring of your self-talk. It's entitled Five Rational Questions. The first one, is my thinking based on fact? Second one is, does my thinking protect my life and health? Third one, does my thinking help me achieve my current and or future goals? Number four, does my thinking help me prevent unwanted conflict with others? And lastly, does my thinking help me feel positive about myself and my world? Are my thoughts congruent with what God says about me and my world? The author of these questions indicates that if you answer no to any one of those questions, it is likely that you have an irrational thought process going for you. You can use these questions with virtually any situation you may encounter. What you think about what is going on to you significantly determines your next move. Although I don't believe the above questions are spiritually inspired questions, one can certainly incorporate spiritual context into each question. For example, you could easily add, is it based on the facts of Scripture, not just the facts of the situation at hand? I often used to ask these questions with my clients and found them to be amazed at what they were actually telling themselves about the situations they were involved in. When I would stop them and ask them to think about what they were telling themselves, They were amazed at the often negative, irrational, and depressing thoughts they were uttering to themselves. I like the quote from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones in his book about spiritual depression. He says, "I say that we must talk to ourselves instead of allowing ourselves to talk about us." Have you realized that most of your unhappiness is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Whatever you are thinking about and planning for in the coming year requires talking to yourself and with others. As you begin thinking about what you want the year to look like and or become, it would be wise for you to start thinking about how it lines up with what you know to be God's will and God's plans for you. Satan is going to try to fill us with as many negative thoughts as possible. He's the master of deception and the father of lies. John 8:44. Satan hates the truth, even though he knows it. If he can impact negative self-talk messages in our heads, he'll use every opportunity he can to try to make them our reality. By contrast, Jesus is the truth in John 14:6, and the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us toward that truth, John 16:13. If we desire to reflect Christ's integrity, we must know more about what his truth is from his word and let the Holy Spirit implant the kinds of thoughts into our brains that will result in obedience to that truth, the truth that sets us free. When we do that, allowing our minds to be transformed and change our self-talk to reflect what we believe to be God's will for us, we will know the meaning of Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. With all the distractions of this world that Satan continues to use to take us away from our love for Jesus, we need to learn how to say no much more often than we say yes. If we say yes to Jesus in the morning, we'll have an easier time saying no the rest of the day to anything that might distract us away from following Jesus that day. If one of our goals is to be self-disciplined, the only way we can do that is if we monitor our self-talk in such a way that our thoughts are held captive to the obedience of Christ. May the new year 2024 for all of us be a renewing of our minds to conform to his will. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the words you have given us in your word that guide us in the process of transforming our lives toward becoming more like you. May we, without question, embrace the way you think about us and respond accordingly with our self-talk and our actions. In this new year, Father, may our self-talk about what we think and say to ourselves conform to what you would want us to think about ourselves and the plans you have for the future. As we think and plan each day, may the Holy Spirit give us the power to hold all of our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Then we will know that we will be able to handle whatever happens in 2024. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. Okay, let's go back to the carol sing. There's quite a few more that we can sing, so.
134?
184, thank you.
Joyfully.
177. There's about a dozen more. We don't need to sing them all, but
193, I think of that star long ago.
Sure. We're in that season.
Thank you.
I'll pick one. 147. O come, all ye faithful.
Yeah, we sang that. Is that about it?
I know. 164, Away in the Manger.
Okay. 164. Well, let's close with a hymn in your bulletin, 188. This is to me anyway, a nice metaphor for what we should be doing now that we've got the good news that Jesus has come and he lives within us, that we should go tell it on the mountain. In closing, hear the words from 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And I'll add, in 2024. Amen. Let's stand and share the blessing with each other. The